Today, a rocket is scheduled to lift off from Cape Canaveral, carrying an invention that, to those of us who are laymen, just sounds pretty amazing. An example of the living quarters people may someday use in space. It's an inflatable module that will be attached to the International Space Station. NPR's Joe Palca has been introducing us to innovative solutions to old problems in his series Joe's Big Idea, and today, the past and future of living in space.
In the mid-1990s, NASA was trying to figure out how to get astronauts to Mars without the crew going crazy living in a tiny capsule for months on end. Chris Kennedy was a NASA engineer working on the problem. It essentially boiled down to this: how do you pack a large living structure in a small rocket cargo space? The answer? Inflatables.
Well, there's several advantages for inflatable habitats. One is you can package it in a smaller volume
and then expand it once you get into space. Now, the inflatable is not like a balloon. Folded up, it looks just like a cylinder. Expanded, it grows upward and outward, so it looks more like a watermelon. It's made of multiple layers of Kevlar and other materials resistant to micrometeorites. And even though it's inflated, Kennedy says you shouldn't think of it as squishy.
It's very rigid. Once you get even a partial pressure to it, it's extremely hard, as hard as aluminum.
But as enthusiastic as some at NASA were for this new approach to building space habitats, Congress wasn't sufficiently impressed, and in 2000, legislators told NASA to kill the program. Enter billionaire Robert Bigelow, a man who made his fortune in budget hotels. He saw a future for inflatable space habitats, maybe even space hotels. Space tourists gotta stay somewhere. He got the rights to NASA's inflatable technology and created Bigelow Aerospace. After more than a decade of development, the company has produced BEAM, the Bigelow Expandable Activity Module, and NASA has agreed to attach it to the International Space Station and see how it performs. Folded up, BEAM is about 6 by 6 feet. Inflated, it's about 12 by 10, maybe the size of a small RV. Jason Krusan is in charge of BEAM for NASA. He says when it arrives at the station,
we'll use the robotic arm to remove the BEAM module and actually plug it into its home on board the space station.
Once it's securely attached, astronauts will start to inflate it.
It could be done as fast as 4 minutes. We're not going to do it that fast. We'll do it over the course of several hours.
It's not that expanding it too fast might make it pop. BEAM's layered design won't let that happen. He says you could poke a big hole in the outer layer,
and it will leak, obviously, but it's not going to puncture like a balloon.
While it's attached to the space station, the plan is for the crew to go inside the habitat from time to time to see how it's performing. Krusan says there are no plans at the moment for the crew to have a sleepover. BEAM will be attached to the space station for 2 years. I ask Krusan what happens then.
Do you bring it back down, or do you just toss it out the back?
Yeah, our plans at the end of it is to toss it out back, carefully, of course.
Eventually, BEAM will fall out of orbit and burn up in the atmosphere. Krusan says NASA now sees a future for inflatables, and it's the same future from the 1990s, getting humans to Mars.
We do want to look at the use of expandables in what we call our Mars transit architecture. So how do we build the habitats that take us from here all the way to Mars?
Well, I guess what goes around comes around. Joe Palca, NPR News.